1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross to the saved, then, is what? It's everything. It's exactly what I rely on, what I count on for my salvation, is the fact of the preaching of the cross. I'm not just talking about that's it, but it's the fact of the preaching of the cross. What my Savior did for me, that He forgave me of all my sins, that He died, was buried, and resurrected. Therefore, there's a death that I don't have to die because of His righteousness in me now, because I've trusted in the fact of what He has done. To them that perish, that story is foolishness. It's just whatever. It's just foolishness to them. But to us, it's everything. I have nothing on my own to offer, and you don't either. Not a thing. I have nothing in me of my own that's righteous before God. Without the cross of Christ and the righteousness of Christ in me, on my own, there is no righteousness at all. On my own, I would fail before God's righteous judgment. His judgment would say to me that I am guilty. And with the preaching of the cross, if it's not important to you, or it's something you wash away, then to you that perish, it's foolishness, and your judgment will be that you are guilty. Not because of anything you didn't do, and not because of anything that you did, but because by simply just taking away the message of the preaching of the cross and what Christ did. Without that, we are eternally damned. But the redemption that came by the cross, the preaching of the cross of Calvary, and what was accomplished there, puts me where I don't have to stand before a righteous God in judgment based upon myself and my non-works and my works. That's something that we rejoice in. The fact is, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And anybody that takes that away or thinks that it's not important, that doesn't rely on the fact of the preaching of the cross and trusting what Christ did, it's foolishness. And what does the world look at as the preaching of the cross? Some of the people that are believed to be the smartest people in the world consider it foolishness. Jesus Christ paid for all of it. And He sees me now in Christ. God's righteous judgment sees me in Christ. This is why the preaching of the cross is so important. It settles your justification. Preaching of the cross settles it. There's no other thing we have to worry about when it comes to our salvation but the simple fact of knowing what the preaching of the cross can do. It is the power of God that saves us, that justifies us. Not only your justification, though, sometimes we stop right there and we forget it's not just our justification, but it is also our sanctification. If you start anywhere besides the preaching of the cross, if you start anywhere else, it also affects your sanctification because you would believe other things. You would believe things that are different than the revelation of the mystery that was given to Paul if it wasn't the preaching of the cross. So it not only affects your justification, it affects your sanctification. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Let's remind ourselves why the letter is written and how Paul starts this letter. "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." And we see here that this letter is about what? Sanctification. Being separate. Being different, not fitting in. It's from the preaching of the cross. And to everybody that is of the world that considers what Paul says as different, as not important, it is foolishness. And so it's important to understand, we see here that this letter is about being set apart. Paul is writing this letter in the fact because he has gotten reports of issues of them following instructions of tens of thousands of other instructors that have meshed this gospel and they cannot be set apart. They cannot be different with the message that Paul has given if they're following or meshing other things. It takes away the power of the cross. The very reason that when we stand before God's righteous judgment that we can say we're not guilty because of this and for no other reason. As I've spoken this about the cross, I've always dealt with it with our justification. But without the justification, you can't have the sanctification. You can't be separate even if you live or try to live some godly Christian life by doing good things. there's still no separation between you and the world. Because most of the world, at least around here that I see, maybe not in Islam, but in the United States, in the South, where we're at today, most of these congregations that are filled today are doing good things, or they're being nice, or they're filling their resume up before a righteous God that doesn't separate them at all from the world. In fact, it makes them part of the world. In fact, the ones that probably aren't sitting in congregations today are probably more separated than the ones that are. But the issue is, without us trusting in the power of the cross, not only is there no justification, there's no separation either. You can't have one without the other. Probably 6 months ago, I can remember separating them in a certain way, that there's no separation at all. You can't. You're just like the world without the power of the cross. In every way. So something to really think about with this letter. These in this letter are saints. Sometimes as I read this, I don't know why, I just think how bad these people are. It's just a habit. I can't believe these people. This morning we were talking about in Exodus, you think of those that left out of Egypt, that just crossed the Red Sea, that were God-fearing people as a nation, and what they did by making this golden calf to worship within just a short time. But it's the same way. These are saints. These are those who had grasped this truth and are living as the world. They're not separated at all. So Paul is writing this letter about being separated. In fact, you're not going to blend in. If you do, there's probably issues, or there's probably areas that you have decided to compromise, and it makes you carnal. So these in this letter are saints. They are sealed, but yet they are living just like the world. I asked me the question, how about you? This letter reminds them they are separate. Sometimes it's good to be reminded, hey, we are separated. This word tells us the same. We are not fit in this world. It's a completely different lifestyle than this world system. If you're not living rightly according to the Word, then you're probably living according to this world. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Go to 1 Corinthians 2:2. It says, "For I determined it not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Look at verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Sounds exactly like the conversation Kevin brought up, a comment this morning. It was amazing Kevin brought this out, and this is what I was speaking about this morning. That just everything goes back to the cross when it deals with your justification and you being separate. Your doctrine has everything to do with it. And today, men have so much washed it that everything is a program or a topic or something like that, and it takes away from the preaching of the cross. Instead, it's about something else that we need to do. If you go in Lifeway, I don't go there very much anymore, but you can see a whole row of how to figure out your spiritual gifts, but not the preaching of the cross. You won't find a whole row on it, I guarantee you. Instead, it's about man trying to move you or motivate you or tell you how to be a better you. It blew my mind the day. Dad can't get out. And Mom answered, I said, we're just listening to Joel Osteen. I said, you're what? She goes, well, he says some really nice. I said, you're exactly right. He says some really nice things. She goes, well, he's not a preacher. I says, he says he is. But she got tickled at me, and it was funny. She knew it would tick me off. Dad just got a big hoot out of it. And she goes, well, it was what was on TV. I said, well, then turn it off. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men is huge. Because I'm going to tell you today, if you're not in your Word and you come here just to hear me, you've messed up big time. That's a promise. I do study and I do try, but look, do not rely on my wisdom. In fact, you need to be making sure what I preach is correct. Not to help just you, to help me. I mean, honestly here, guys, it's very important. What's the power of God? It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, what is the power of God? We just read it in 1:18. It's the preaching of the cross. So I'd say that holds the most important thing. This is the very thing that our faith should stand in. It is the central issue. God made the wisdom of this world foolish through the cross. Now you got to remember, these people are gaining this instruction, and where they came from was from where? Was it Athens? From the Athenians? Babylonians, from these who worshipped other gods, these who studied in their logic and their philosophy and all this stuff. And Paul says, look, the cross alone makes that from men foolish. He says, God made the wisdom of this world foolish. He just took the simple issue of the cross to show the difference in mankind's wisdom and God's righteous judgment. And they could not comprehend that simple message that God did to save. What did they think about the cross? It's not like where we're at today. We don't see people hanging on a cross today. But it was very common to them. They knew of this history. They knew of where this came from. They weren't ignorant. They saw it. And so Paul writes in this letter, look, the preaching of the cross shows their foolishness. Why? Because they crucified their Savior. The Jews crucified Him. The Scripture calls them fools. They suppress the truth. Let me tell you what the wisdom of men does. They suppress the truth. That has just messed me up, just considering how smart John MacArthur is. There's no doubt about it. He is a smart, smart man. It's amazing. We're going to read for a little bit, and then we're going to talk for a second. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:7. For Christ sent me not to baptize. I'm doing this so you can understand where you see wisdom and foolishness and wisdom and foolishness and the things of it. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Through their so much wisdom, that's how they knew not God. It says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolish. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Boy, you can go all the way back through history and see the things that God used over and over and over again to make the wise and the powerful and the popular look like fools, can't you? Not those who were wise unto God, but those who were wise unto themselves or unto other men. It says, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Go to chapter 3 of the same book and look at verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. In this letter, can you see where Paul's going? About trusting in what men teach, about the wisdom of men, and where it leads, and what it takes away, what it shadows. It shadows the cross of Christ. When we see here, speaking as wise and fools now, as we read all these scriptures, we have to be careful. You'll see the term wise. In this letter, you'll see the word wise, you'll see wisdom, you'll see fools, you'll see the word foolish. Sometimes he speaks of worldly wisdom, which is foolishness to God, and then you'll see him speak of true wisdom or even true foolishness in another way. So when you read these, you've got to really slow down sometimes. And then he speaks of what the world calls foolish, which of course is what God would call wise. So as you read these scriptures, you have to slow down and understand. A few other scriptures, and then we're going to talk. Go to Psalms 14:1. I want to look at what the Word says about fools, and then look also at someone that is wise and where it comes from. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Go to chapter 53 and look at verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's nothing within ourselves that can meet the righteousness of God. None. If you think there's anything of you that brings the wisdom or brings glory to yourself, that shadows the glory of what Christ did, of what He made, then you're missing your justification. And therefore you're missing also being set apart. One more place. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The Word of God says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But you can go back, Paul here, if you study Romans, you see the first three chapters are history. Paul even goes back before times past. He goes all the way back and shows how man always tries to reason within himself and has wisdom of man and takes away the glory of God. And it goes all the way back. This issue has always gone forever and ever and how it's always been. Even back then when it happened. We know here that the biblical fool is the one who doesn't believe in God. We know some, of course, stick out. We can see today these same type people. They just stick out. The evolutionists and a lot of the scholars today, or professors. I love that word, professor. Profess. Many of them profess not the cross. Many of them have leaned on the understanding of others that profess. And you can follow it all the way back, even before times past, that there were fools that took away the glory of God, that leaned on their own understanding, that depended on the wisdom of men. It's just a total fallen to the point they're damned. This is the very thing also that many today that lead churches or groups. Many today behind the pulpit that are just trusting in another book, trusting in other men. It is a contamination. So much so, these are people, look, I was in the midst of it. I thought I was as separated from this world as you could ever believe. And I was nothing but shadowing what the power of God was, and that's the cross of Christ. Everything else became important. I will tell you what, it was such a power and such a feeling that I can remember walking away places thinking, we've really got it going on. Have you ever been that way before? Thinking that you're just in this elite group? Hey, I've been involved in my life in youth groups that just exploded and thinking, man, this is where it's just shadowing the things of the cross. And that's exactly what goes on today everywhere. They have been taught by those who don't believe, even. They're today in seminaries all over the place. I can tell you, Carson Newman, people that I know have gone there, people that have gone to Liberty that, oh, Paul, you and I know that they have taken away that the Word of God is not all truth. That have gone to seminaries under philosophers and professors. And if you lean on to other people and not the Word of God, you'll follow the same way. They buy their books and they teach from them. Some of them are the Bible translations that they use. Or Sunday school books that give opinions. Grant was telling me this week at school how he went to a Bible study and the guy didn't even have his Word. What do you have, Grant? A Sunday school book?
It was like a book like The Message. Oh, like dumbs, kind of like dumbs it down. And that's all he did. He just read out of it. It was like he was reading a story.
This is what this world is susceptible to because he can make people laugh. He can make people depend on his wisdom and his laughter. And he becomes a leader that is as a fool that shadows the cross. And it's important, regardless at school, here, wherever, We need to make this word, if it separates us in our doctrine, it should be the most vital and important thing that we do. And nothing else should take precedence over it. Many today have taken away absolutes that are in your church today. They don't believe in absolute truth. In fact, some say there is no absolutes. And they'll even tell you they're absolutely sure. That's sad, ain't it? To be absolutely sure there's no absolutes is just totally contradicting what they say. Or what is good and what is bad. Just turn on Oprah or Dr. Phil. They'll blame somebody down their heritage for the reason they're this way. They have made their own system. What's right for you may not be right for them. They've meshed worldview with the Word of God. We need to be careful when speaking to one of these as such. Sometimes they can even be intimidating. The reason it's important for us to know our Word is there are many out there that are very intelligent. This is why it's so important, just as this letter that Paul's writing, that these had followed these other instructors and listened. They had heard from Paul. They had saw manifestations of gifts. And look where they were at this point now. It was that simple to them to start following other men. We mentioned this morning coming out of Egypt, walking the Red Sea, and then what do? In a short time, what do? They follow themselves. So don't think for a second that it can't happen to us as individuals if we don't consider and stay in the Word of God. Why is it important to be here on Sundays? Why is it important to be here on Wednesdays or when you can be? Why is it important to be with an assembly of other believers that share the same doctrine? It's to give you strength. It's to help each other. It's for you to help us and for us to help you so that we make sure we know what we believe. Those things are important. That's why it's important. You got to remember, just because they sound good and they sound smart doesn't make their words truth. We need to know what the Bible says about them. We go to the Word for our wisdom and understanding. Today, men will go to their own minds and their vain imaginations. And you know what they use? They'll quote Scripture just like Satan did. You think it's important not to know your Word? Satan knew the Word. He knew things that were spoken, didn't he? So do other men that shadow the cross. Amen? Do y'all see this in society today? You can go all the way back to where Paul is talking in history of Romans 1 and see the same picture today of man, as long as he can find a way not to be responsible to a holy God, that's what he'll do. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they hold down the truth. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I've used this wrong before. I believe the Scripture speaks dealing with not as that we fear the Lord because we're not given a spirit of fear, but to understand what the most important thing is, His words that are held in reverence, that stand upon everything else, that there's nothing beside it, there's nothing above it. Anything else is not worthy of the truth. But the fact of the fear of the Lord, to know the issue that if you take anything to be more important than the Word of God, then you take away knowledge. Not only that, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the fact that it ain't just, well, I hold it and it's important, I just read it. It's to know it. Knowledge. It's to know this Word. It shows that you are reverent, you believe that God is true, that His glory stands above all other. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. To lean on anything else is to follow the destruction and the wisdom of men. To understand and respect this Word, to know it's from God, is the beginning of knowledge. To know that He is the possessor of true knowledge should always be in the limelight of anything. Fools despise it. They have no fear of the instructions of it. Today, what I see a lot in many places of people that don't take the Word seriously, and they don't even know it. They don't even know that they don't take the Word seriously because it's been so duped down or watered down. And so today, you go to churches all across America and you'll see different scriptures put on the wall by different translations. And I like the way this one sounds. And it's as though it's just a mesh of whatever feels good or sounds good or how I can sway a crowd. Let me tell you, that's exactly what Satan used. And so we can see the importance of this letter in 1 Corinthians was Paul reminded them, hey, you're separate. And the issue with our doctrine, your justification and your separation starts from the cross of Christ. The power of that. Anything else is foolishness. That's what God uses. He takes the foolishness of the cross to do away with the wisdom of men that you guys are listening to. And that's the very thing that we need to be careful of. I believe, as a Bible believer, as trusting in the grace of Christ, that just because somebody says something, no matter how wise they are, or how many PhDs they have, or what position position they're in, or whether they've been your friend for 30 years, or whether it's been your mom or dad, or whatever it is, it's important to understand, if it doesn't come from the Word, it doesn't make it true in anything else. And when they speak truth, it's because they use the Word of God in context. Things that I say, if they're not backed by the Word, those are the very things you ought to just forget. And there's a society out there that wants you to believe the way they believe because they rest on that. The fact that, well, it must be right, everybody agrees. That's what man wants. That way he can ignore being responsible to a holy God. And he's as damned as anybody else. And he'll send you right along with him. And therefore, without even recognizing the Word of God is the beginning of knowledge, it's not even important anymore. I just kind of leave with asking you, what is the most important thing to you that separates you from this world? If it's the Word, then you need to be in it. That's all there is to it. We make it so hard and try to think of, how can we get somebody to do this? How can we get more people into the Word? You know what? If you can't take for the fact that this is the very breath that you trust in that saves your soul, the very fact of the power of the cross, the very fact of the Word of God and the truth to give you understanding and knowledge to know who you are, what in the world else would you want to motivate you? It's kind of like, what else does Christ need to do? Is there something else He should have done? What else can He do to show you that He loves you, but the very fact of what He did for you? It's amazing how we feel like we have to motivate people. Just the very importance and understanding this, just us letting other people know that are around us how important this Word is, should be enough. Should be enough for you, but is it? It's a good question to ask. It should take precedence over anything else. Because it's the very thing that separates us as a body of believers. It should take precedence. And I believe as Paul writes this letter, and you can see as we go through it, he deals with the wisdom of men, the foolishness of men, the simple message that God gave. And that's what separates you. So if you feel like you're a part of this world, you're missing a lot, I believe. You can really check yourself through the Word. Amen?
Oftentimes we downplay fearing God. And certainly in this dispensation, we are told we are not to.
You're right.
But in the nation of Israel, they were to fear God, the truth of God. And in fact, we just talked about today where 3,000 men lost their lives because they did not fear the truth of God. So when there's a covenant relationship, they had to fear God in order to understand the truthfulness of that. So these scriptures that tell us to fear God as the basis of knowledge and wisdom, those are very much true.
They are universal.
Fear as in, you better respect Him enough, not reverentially, as many of the great scholars try to say today, but you better fear Him because what He says He will do, He will, including taking your life. But as you pointed out, this dispensation, that is not for us. So we do not have to fear God's Word. We can go our whole life and not utilize it at all. Now, the only complication you have with that is where you end up. But we do not get disciplined throughout.
Yeah.
We are not going to be chastised for us not fearing that truth of knowledge and wisdom.
The chastisement is being damned for not trusting in what Christ did at the cross. And that will come. And it's an issue, but God's truth is the beginning of knowledge. We need to understand that. That should hold precedence over anything.